Welcome to Fireside Chats with me, Grand Chief Jerry Daniels, brought to you by the Southern Chiefs Organization. Join us as we chat and highlight all the advocacy we are doing with and for our nation. Bonjour, Anine, and hello everyone. Welcome to another episode of Fireside Chats, brought to you by the Southern Chiefs Organization. I'm SCO Grand Chief and your host, Jerry Daniels. We are coming to you from the studios of NCI on Treaty 1 territory. Today we focus on something that I'm really passionate about, and that's economic development, and what economic sovereignty can mean for our nation's well-being. Up first, a chat with the president of True North Real Estate Development, Jim Ludlow. As you may have heard or read in the news, True North and SCO recently signed a memorandum of understanding to work together on our respective development projects for downtown Winnipeg. Then in the second half of the show, we visit with Black River Chief Sheldon Kent as we continue looking at the role economic development plays in the overall health of our nations. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the next half hour here on NCI or wherever you get your podcasts. As most people listening will know, SCO received a major gift from the Hudson's Bay Company. In 2022, HBC and SCO announced that the ownership of the Hudson's Bay building in downtown Winnipeg would be transferred to the Southern Chiefs organization. We recognize and thank HBC for their generous gift and their support for economic reconciliation. We look forward to chatting with someone from the HBC on a future episode of Fireside Chats, when we share more about our Wawane Bagakanagan project. SCO is in the midst of transforming the former Bay building, and I want to remind our listeners that you can see a full outline of our project on the SCO website. In December of 2023, SCO received a huge boost to our projects to transform the iconic HBC Heritage Building in downtown Winnipeg. In a special ceremony, we were joined by officials from the True North to sign a memorandum of understanding. We plan to work together on our respective efforts to redevelop large structures in downtown Winnipeg. True North is conducting due diligence on a proposed $550 million redevelopment of the Portage Place Mall, a relationship that is critical when it comes to creating wealth and economic development for our nations. It also opens the door to economic reconciliation. Joining us now to talk a little more is Jim Ludlow. Jim is the president of True North Real Estate Development. Welcome to Fireside Chats.
Good morning, Jerry. It's always a pleasure to be here. Thank you for inviting us today.
Jim, let's start with learning more about what True North wants to do with the Portage Place Mall. What's your project all about?
Well, that's obviously the first question is a very big question. So Portage Place is it's big, it's cumbersome, it's divisive. You know, it had an aspiration to do lots of good things for downtown Winnipeg in its day, but it's now old. It's 40 years old. It is largely vacant. And, you know, in many respects, for all of us as Winnipeggers and those of us who work in downtown Winnipeg, you know, we would be concerned about a vacancy and then a closure. Very similar to the Bay in many respects. So, you know, our vision for that is a little different than the typical vision you may have seen in an urban, you know, real estate redevelopment plan, some that you've seen from Eastern Canada. So, you know, in our case, we saw it a little differently after other projects that sort of, you know, found their way out of the city. You know, we look at it from the perspective of a, I'll call it a social redevelopment plan first, Jerry, and a real estate development plan second, you know, anchored by, you know, a multifamily housing, market and affordable, healthcare, you know, community services and the like. Something that we believe and we hope really fits with some of the needs for our urban community.
Thank you for that, Jim. So tell me, when you really get down to the project and the impact it's going to have, what about this project? What made you want to do this?
Well, you know, sometimes you got to be a little crazy for starters, Jerry. And you know, I there's a story in our world, as you might remember, 20 some odd years ago, you know, when there was a vacant Eaton's building on Portage Avenue, and somebody said to us, why would you want to buy the Eaton's building and demolish it and build a sports and entertainment center? Well, we know where we are today. In fact, you and I had a chat earlier about the Leafs and the Jets. And, you know, that's done a lot, we believe, for Winnipeg and for Manitoba in terms of inspiring people and you know, inspiring the brand of Winnipeg and Manitoba to have that kind of, you know, development in sports and entertainment here. So for us, you know, Portage Place was the same thing. And as I said earlier, we would be concerned, as you would be, about, you know, vacancies and closures with assets that are so large. So we're attracted to it because We think we can see an opportunity where there's a crisis. We think we can see across the street to what you're doing in a way to create a collective vision for improvement, you know, in Winnipeg, which has, you know, both social and economic ramifications.
Thank you again for that. Why did True North want to join forces with SCO when it comes to our respective projects?
Well, you know, we just see things simply, and we see things logically, and we look at downtown Winnipeg, and we look at you, and we look at the Bay, we look at Portage Place, and to be honest, you know, as we were doing some due diligence on Portage Place, I recall very clearly standing on the bridge that connects Portage Place to the Bay, which is closed, and looking down Portage Avenue and thinking to, you know, myself, it would be logical for us to share a vision. It would be logical for us to look to a business and an economic partnership on developing multifamily assets in and around Portage Place and the Bay. So, you know, we were inspired by what you were doing. We were inspired by looking on that bridge and saying, we think we can see a bridge, you know, metaphorically speaking, between communities, between development opportunities, both social and economic. And you know, the other thing is, you know, like you folks do, we believe very much in the future. We believe very much in Winnipeg. And, you know, but for SCO and companies like True North, vacancies of the Bay and Portage Place together are 2 million square feet. We can't afford to have that in Winnipeg. So, yeah, Jerry, very much a collective vision and an opportunity.
So how do you think the projects, you know, when we think about the scale of the projects, the impact on the community, both from a social and an economic perspective, how do you think the projects complement each other in carrying that out?
Well, look, I you know, they do a number of things. I mean, not the least of which is you know, a large development and construction projects like this provide a lot of catalyst for, you know, for jobs. You know, they share a vision on, you know, the type of program development that we're looking at doing, which we think is solution oriented for some of the needs in downtown Winnipeg. So I think the economic and social impacts are significant, you know, for both of us when you bring these projects together. And a collective is always better than, you know, running on your own. And so when you bring these projects together, even during construction, Jerry, the economic impacts, you know, are in the billions of dollars. Well, the social impacts are the long-term legacy of bringing these projects together and actually doing something, as opposed to the alternative, which is not very good for any of us in urban Winnipeg.
You know, as a CEO of such a reputable organization, could you tell us a bit about why these are good investments for downtown Winnipeg?
Well, okay, another really good question, and we like those questions, and, you know, we have lots of friends and investment partners and, you know, and so on and so forth in other cities in Canada. And, you know, when someone says, well, you know, we can do this in Toronto and your rate of return could be this as opposed to that. Yeah, we say, well, okay, so we're focused on Winnipeg and we're focused on the context of what it means to have an economic return in Winnipeg and marrying that with a social return. And so we see it a little differently, as you do. And I think it's important for our organizations to create a message out there that we actually do believe and we're prepared to invest in the betterment of our communities relative to, say, you know, sure, you and I could invest in Toronto or in Vancouver and something might be a little different economically. But it would then be a message that we're sort of not abandoning, but not paying attention to our own community.
As I mentioned at the top of the show, development and cooperation like this can be beneficial for the people we represent. And for so long, First Nations have been on the outside looking in when it comes to economic prosperity. I just want to, February is I Love to Read Month, and I want to know if you have a book that stands out for you.
Well, you know, you would expect, what should that be? But I love to read, you know, biographies and autobiographies, and I just read the book My Effin' Life by Geddy Lee, who was the bass player for Rush. So among other things, I mean, it was a fun read, and it's a great book.
Jim, it's been so good to chat with you. I am excited to see what the future holds for our projects in downtown Winnipeg. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with us on Fireside Chats.
Always a pleasure, Jerry. Thanks.
Jim Ludlow is the president of True North Real Estate Development. Still to come, we visit with one of our Treaty 5 leaders as we continue to explore economic development and the benefits that come with it. Now, as we go to our first break, here's a song from Gator Bolio from the Sandy Bay Ojibwe Nation. We'll be right back.
Rolling along the highway number 6, making my way back to the sticks. My window down, I'm out of this town, racing away from these city lights tonight. Making my way back home, I'm gonna see my mom, gonna see my pa. Yes, things are getting a little better from here. Yeah, country's where my heart is. Country is my home. Yeah, the country's where my heart is. Yeah, country is my soul. In the city, well now it seems, with all these bright lights in the city streets, it won't be long till I'm back again, rolling along the highway number 6, oh yeah. Yeah, country's where my heart is, country is my home. Yeah, country's where my heart is. Yeah, country is my soul.
That was Gator Bolio with Highway Number 6, and you are listening to Fireside Chats. I'm your host and SEO Grand Chief, Jerry Daniels. As we discussed in the first half of the show, SEO is committed to economic development and creating relationships with Indigenous and non-Indigenous partners. My next guest knows lots about that kind of outreach and how it can benefit our nations. Sheldon Kent is Chief for the Black River First Nation. He's a member of the Board of Directors for Treaty 5, and he's the Chair for the First Nations Health and Social Secretariat of Manitoba. Chief Kent, welcome to Fireside Chats.
Good evening. Anin bonjour. Misabe makwanin dish nekaz neme tute makate waga machiganun junji. It's an absolute privilege to come and sit and have a discussion with the Grand Chief and our NCI audience about economic development.
Chief Kent, can you tell us a bit about what economic development means to you and the people of Black River and Treaty 5?
Economic development for myself and my community is the way out of the poverty that our people have had to endure for the last 150 years since Canada signed treaties and negotiated and manipulated our people with lies. Economic development is the future, and it's the key for our community to get healthy and well, and we wouldn't be dependent on the government anymore. Once Black River achieves that, and hopefully I'll see that in my lifetime, but it's not just going to happen overnight. It takes some time and due diligence and effort. We have to continue to move forward to create economic development sovereignty for my community and our members.
Can you tell us a little bit more about some of the initiatives taking place in your nation these days?
Well, on the nation right now, what we do have is we have our cannabis grow op, which is set to open its doors in the next few weeks. And we took a route of going for a federal license because our elders have always reminded me we're a federal jurisdiction. We shouldn't have to go to the provincial government for any licensing. So we went that route. We got licensed by the federal government for our cannabis grow op. One of our most successful economic development ventures, and we were criticized for this, is when we did the South Beach Casino. I know a lot of our community members were very harsh on us. So the critics are, we always have critics in our community. So the critics were saying, this is going to be a complete failure for us and a waste of our investment that we put in initially. And 20 years later, it's vibrant. So we got a taste of a successful economic development venture. So we have many other opportunities that we were exploring, but we were always hitting roadblocks, stumbling blocks. One, for example, we did a wind assessment in my community. I was hoping to put a windmill there to create clean energy for us. And the wind is sufficient for us to do that, but Manitoba Hydro was reluctant to allow us to tap their system because we need their infrastructure to work with them. So we're very hopeful with the new premier coming in, Wab Canoe, that they're going to have more of a open relationship and we'll have a good dialogue with them to help us succeed with our economic ventures.
What are some economic success stories that we can tell our listeners that are happening in Treaty 5 and also with the Southeast Resource Development Council?
I'll start with the Southeast Tribal Council because they've been around since 1978. And when they first formed together, when they formed the Southeast Tribal Council back then, they were renting an office space downtown. And then they brought in a CFO, Inder Rupra, came to the table and said, why are you chiefs renting? Let's go buy a building. So they bought a building back then. Our first asset was 511 Ellis. And today the Tribal Council has grown to having over $40 million worth of assets, buildings, parking lots, golf courses. We have a lot of property within the city of Winnipeg. And so I had an opportunity to work with that group and I spent a lot of time there. There was a period where I wasn't chief and then I sat back and said, well, I spent a lot of time helping the tribal council grow, but my community, I didn't spend too much time doing that. So this, after that break I took and I'm back now where economic development is a very high priority for us. So much that we've acquired properties in the city of Winnipeg and we're developing them. We're going to develop a university student residence a couple kilometers away from the University of Manitoba. Many people probably know where our Southeast Collegiate is and our Southeast Care Home. I have Black River owns 10 acres just adjacent there, and we're planning to build a university student residence, affordable housing for 55 plus as well in that area. Our community is very excited about that, along with our council, and we consult our members on these projects, and it just doesn't happen overnight. But that's Southeast, so give us the insight there. Treaty 5, we're just coming together now as a collective. Treaty 5, there's 40 nations there, and we go from Ontario to Saskatchewan and then all the way from my community and Fisher River, then we go straight up north. It's all mostly Treaty 5 nations. There's 40 nations and 120,000 citizens. So we're getting together and we're collaborating on our treaties and what can we do as a collective. So we're just making baby steps there, but we do realize there's 90 million acres of land within our Treaty 5 territories and there's lots of resources. And again, this is where the colonizers seem to think they have say over our lands, because I think we've allowed them to do that over the last little while, but you can clearly see that our leadership, our former chiefs and councils have always opposed the government infringing their authority over us. Treaty 5's goal is for us to come together as a collective and exercise our rights and say no more development without our consultation and without our participation. So there's a tremendous opportunity there because there's a vast land and vast amounts of resources. And I know the province is quite excited with the lithium and the cesium, the cobalt that's all in that area and the waters. Of course, we know that Manitoba Hydro has reaped the benefits of damming up our lakes and rivers in our territories without treating our people very well. But that's another topic, another discussion, but we'll hit that at some point.
Chief Kent, what does economic development mean when it comes to creating wellness and healing for our people and communities?
Well, from my perspective, economic development, economic wellness will enable us not to be dependent on the federal and provincial government. Well, not so much the provincial government, because we don't get very much from the provincial government as it is. We get very little, but the federal government, we're so dependent on them. It's a real challenge. Economic development for us, when we can start creating our own source revenue from our own economic development resources, will give us that freedom, that ability to start taking care of our own citizens and our own members in a good way. Because right now, we know Canada can't keep up with the housing crisis that's going on. And there's lots of crises that our communities are going through. And it's to do with the institutions that were created. When I say institutions, I refer to the residential schools, the day schools. And today, the Child and Family Services Program is not a favorable entity for us. So it creates a lot of, it breaks the families apart. So we're able to have our own source revenue without any restrictions. We'll be able to bring the families together and start healing and being proud of our nations once again. It'll start with my community, with some of our initiatives, and we're very hopeful and optimistic that these will become realities for us. And so we're continuing to move forward with big dreams and goals and aspirations to be independent. Because right now, 90% of our funds, federal government gives us the funds and 10% is own source. We'd like to turn that circle over where it's 90% economic development.
Yeah, government transfers, we really do have to move away and create independent revenue, you know, create more investment, diversification. You know, there's a lot we can learn from what Chief Kent has gone through over the many years, and we rely on him and his expertise. So thank you for everything that you've done. I'm just going to ask you one more question, Chief, about February is I Love to Read Month, and we wanted to get your recommendation and maybe share with our listeners a book that you would recommend to those who are listening.
There's a book out there. Thank you, Grand Chief, for that. But there is a book that I would recommend to our listeners. It's a book called Cheated. It's a book written by Bill Wazier and Janine Hansen. It goes back to the time when the government created the Natural Resources Transfer Act, and they created laws where our people couldn't hire legal representatives. There was a time from early 1900s up until 1960 or late 50s, 57, 58. There was a time in this country where we as chiefs, our ancestors as chiefs and counselors and elders, they couldn't retain a lawyer to represent them for injustices that were happening to them. If they did, that lawyer who was practicing law of that time period, Canada took their legal license from them, so they couldn't practice law anymore. So they really made it restrictive. And this book, Cheated, talks about those. So what it does is it talks about how the government stole our land and imposed their policies on us, which we still suffer with today. But we're very hopeful and optimistic that our people, our young people, the audience that's listening out there, it's up to you as an individual to get educated, be proud of who you are, and stand up and fight for our rights, because it's not just the chiefs and counselors that are going to do it. It's all our citizens. We have to work together and support each other, but it's challenging times for us. But this is a good read for people to get a good understanding of what our ancestors had to endure back in the early 1900s when Canada was a brand new country. And they got to realize when we signed treaty with the British Crown, and then the British Crown passed it over to Canada to be the government for us. They were supposed to take care of us. It was supposed to be two canoes paddling side by side where they shared and reaped the rewards of our vast resources and our lands. But our canoe is stuck way back here, and the government has prospered. Canada has prospered off of our resources, and it's enough. Time has to end there. We have to take control and exercise our own rights over our own lands. We are sovereign. That's why they signed the treaties. For 400 years when the settlers got here, they tried to take our lands, but our ancestors, like Pontiac, they fought back. They chased them off. Chief Pontiac destroyed their forts, and they realized that, hey, we're not going to be able to conquer these people. And so they offered us these treaties and were supposed to take care of us, and they failed. Economic development is the way for us to ensure that we will take care of our own. The Mother Earth will provide for us as she's done since time immemorial for our people.
Chief Sheldon Kent, it has been good to talk with you. Thank you for taking the time to be with us on Fireside Chats.
Just in closing, I just want to say it's an honor to come here today and share my thoughts and perspectives with our citizens, our listeners out there. We are all one people. I know there's many diverse tribes here. We have the Dakotas, the Ojibwe, the Anishinaabe, the Cree, the Swampy Cree, the Dene. If I forgot any, but we are one people, one tribe. We have to work together. And thank you, Grand Chief and the NCI, for hosting us today. Megwetch.
And that's going to do it for this edition of Fireside Chats. Thank you to our listeners, our guests, our producer, Kate Kent, Melanie Ferris, Al Foster, and everyone at SCO and NCI who has helped put this show together. If you have any questions or ideas for future episodes, you can send us an email at media@scoinc.mb.ca. We look forward to your feedback and to bringing you a new episode of Fireside Chats next week. On behalf of our entire team, I am SCO Grand Chief Jerry Daniels, miigwech and padamaye for listening. Thank you. Talk to you soon. Thank you for listening to Fireside Chats with me, Grand Chief Jerry Daniels, brought to you by the Southern Chiefs Organization. We hope you join us next time for Fireside Chats, every Friday at 5:30, right here on NCIFM.